here. First off, Robin, what is that that you were playing? Well, I know the song. I'm sorry. What was that? I should have been more specific.
A tongue drum?
Okay. All right. Cool. I've never seen one of those before. All right. And also, you know, when you're told that a member of your church is deemed, or how'd you put it, told that she is the comedian of the group, you almost don't know what to do there. Because if you go, yeah, I totally agree, she don't think that you always thought she was a comedian or a jokester. But if you say no, then she's going to wonder, well, you don't think I'm funny or what? But you know, Sheila, you are funny. But if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles, Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. And then we're going to be looking also at Matthew 6, 14 through 15, for the consequences of refusing to forgive. Is what as we continue on with our series of looking at forgiveness. So if you would, please stand with me as we read together Ephesians 4. We're going to start with verse 29. Then we'll go through 32 and then Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then Matthew 4, excuse me, 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord Jesus, again, we praise you and thank you for this, the day that you've given to us. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for our nation. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that you give to us through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. His death and resurrection, the promise that he still lives and that he is returning one day. The promise of life forever in him, through him, when we come to him and receive that forgiveness. And we thank you for the call to forgive each other, even in times when it may be difficult, times when it's just downright seems impossible. You give us the ability to when we allow you to. Lord, again, we just pray that you would just be with us through this service, that we would truly listen to your message. Help us open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to what you have for us today. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. The message today, as we continue on, remember last week we were looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we kind of broke that down a little bit, and we're looking at the forgiveness part especially. And today we're looking at the consequences of refusing to give. What takes place when we have that attitude that we are going to refuse to forgive somebody? Now, most of you know that myself, my dad, my brother, my brother-in-law at one point served all together at the same time on the Malden Fire Department. Okay, volunteer fire department, but we served several years together, all of us at the same time. And once in a while, we would take and burn down a house. Now, before you think that that's weird, it was for training purposes, obviously. We find an old house. Usually it was an old house. That's one that had been sitting empty for 100 years. And something's finally, they just decided finally to go ahead and burn it down or whatever. And we would use that for training purposes. However, one time we got this, actually a pretty nice house. It actually wasn't too bad. You went in, it was structurally sound. When you went into it, you noticed that there was some signs of age to it. It had some beautiful woodwork. Matter of fact, we actually went in, took the woodwork out first, because one of our firemen wanted it. It had some great doorknobs, some great doors. The house really was not all that bad, what we thought. The more you kind of got to looking around, you saw different places where the plaster had fallen down and the roof had leaked a couple different spots and there were some different things here. But we thought to ourselves, you know what? This really isn't that bad of a house, not one that we would normally be burning down. And I remember my dad making a comment about houses that sit empty for a while. He said that when a house is empty for long periods of time, when nobody is living in it, even though it may seem like it's doing okay, it begins to deteriorate fast when nobody is living in it. He said he's been in houses that even when they kept the heat on and just everything, when there's just something about long periods, and this house had sat empty for about 10, 15 years, and he said that there's just something about when somebody isn't in it. It just seems like it's just begins to decay and everything so fast. One of the firefighters made a comment. It's as if the house is grieving when nobody lives there. It's just kind of grieving. It's just falling apart. And I know that sounds weird, but I remember that, and I look back at my life and just different things that different things that God has given to me. Like I said, the paper route was probably one of the best trainings I ever had on how to talk to people. Because that was back when you actually had to talk to your customers. Okay? And I look back at that, that's just weird that I would remember that. You know, that God has blessed me with the ability just to take and remember. I can't remember what yesterday happened. But anyway. But we've been looking at how as Christ followers for the last few weeks, people who are trying to follow Christ deeper, the desire to grow spiritually closer to Christ, we have been given a call. We have been given a command to do what? Forgive others. It's a command. Jesus has told us to forgive others. We have learned that when we choose to forgive, we are blessed. We are touched. But when we choose not to forgive, we do it out of bitterness. We choose not to give because we are bitter. You think about it, we choose a lot of times not to forgive somebody because we are holding something against them. Whether we know the person or something that somebody that doesn't agree with us politically or whatever, we choose not to see their side just simply because of anger or bitterness towards them. We have seen that the holding on to bitterness is the number one way in which we grieve the Holy Spirit. We've looked at that verse and talk about not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that's mentioned on how not to grieve the Holy Spirit is to get rid of what? Bitterness. That's the first thing that's mentioned. To stop holding on to bitterness and everything. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are not allowing Him to work in our life. For Him to live freely within us. And when the Holy Spirit cannot work truly in our lives, the place where He lives, that bitterness shows in the things we do. In the words we say, in the attitudes that we have. Last Sunday we said that what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15 is not dealing with our eternal security. Our eternal salvation. Remember we said that? We said that if that we're talking about our eternal salvation, it would be saying, okay, God, okay, since I forgave so-and-so, I should be forgiven by you. If we looked at it that way, that's not how we look at it. So we're not talking about our eternal salvation. Our eternal salvation is solely depending on what Christ did on the cross, in our faith in what He's done for us on the cross. However, It does teach that our relationship with God, our relationship, our walking with Christ, is at the very least damaged when we have that attitude to choose not to forgive somebody. When we refuse to pardon whoever it is that's offended us. Whoever it may be. Whatever they've done. It's not that we can pick and choose, well, I'll forgive Scott for this, but I won't forgive Martha for that. That's not the attitude of forgiveness. Sorry, Martha, I've never picked on you in a sermon, so I just... The Bible is clear that God forgives. He pardons our sins because of His grace. Our right standing before Him is established in one thing only. The finished work of what Christ did on the cross for our salvation. That's the only reason why we have a right to stand before Him. The privilege, the blessing to stand before Him. That's the only reason we are here today. Is because of the blessing of what He has done for us on the cross. Only when we are born again and given a new life through God's Holy Spirit by faith in Christ are our sins forgiven. And that's why I say, therefore, Jesus is not talking about God's initial act of forgiveness, a reconciliation that we experience when we first believe the gospel. Being saved and having a deep relationship with Christ are two different things. Let me say that again. Being saved and having a deep relationship with Christ are two different things. There are many people who have come to Christ for salvation but are not seeking a deep walking with Christ. A deep relationship with Him. And part of that walking is to choose to forgive. To have that desire. And when we are not truly walking with Christ or having that deep relationship, we are not developing that desire to forgive. Because what is our human tendency? Grandma Jean, I'm going to get you. That's our human tendency, to take out revenge. But when we let Christ work, when we let Christ touch us, when we truly walk with a desire to seek Him more, then we develop a desire to do what He's called us to do. Of course, our topic and one of the things that He calls us to do is to forgive. So, if we have this desire to not forgive somebody, if we choose to walk around in bitterness, if we choose to not forgive those that we've been called to forgive, which is everybody, what happens? What happens when we do not forgive? Do we have the slideshow or? Okay, thank you. I just didn't see it. Okay. What happens when we do not forgive? Well, the first thing goes right along with what we are just talking about in our relationship with God. The first thing is this. Salvation is unconditional. Fellowship with the Lord is conditional. Salvation is unconditional. Fellowship with the Lord is conditional. Being justified before God means God has declared us righteous. And that comes through faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross, as we just said. When we put our faith in the work of Christ, not our own, we are given perfect righteousness by God. I'm not saying we're made perfect, but I'm saying we get His righteousness. We receive His righteousness. Fellowship, however, is conditional. Unconfessed sin, including being unforgiving, can hinder our fellowship with our Lord. If we have somebody that we are holding a bitterness towards or just simply refusing to forgive them, that can and probably will hinder our fellowship with God. Because there's still going to be that barrier, something that we know that we're supposed to be doing, that God has called us to do, but I choose not to do what God has called me to do. Now, if Lori tells me to go fix a light bulb, okay, and I say, I'm not going to do it, which would never happen, by the way. It may take me a while, but I'll only get it. There's going to be strife in our relationship when we have that attitude. And the same thing is with God. God, you've called me to forgive, but I'm not going to do it. We cannot have the perfect fellowship or a deep fellowship with God. Whatever it is. Like I said, we're talking about forgiveness. B, justification before God is unconditional. The blessing from the Spirit. The blessings from the Spirit are conditional. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5 says, now to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him, who declared the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited, for righteousness. Paul is telling us there that the righteousness of Christ that is put to our credit is permanent. Jesus also said in these words in Matthew 22:37-40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So Paul tells us in Romans, hey, that we have the righteousness given to us. Jesus is saying there, following God's commands is not just about obeying them because we have been told to. It's about obeying out of love. Love for God and love for each other. How many times have we asked somebody, or especially mom and dad, whatever, for forgiveness when we got caught, simply because we got caught? Okay? How many times have we done what mom and dad told us because that if we didn't do it, we knew we were going to get in trouble? Maybe we didn't even want to do it. But we knew that if we didn't do it, we were going to get in trouble. God is telling us here, or Jesus is telling us there, to obey God because we love him. Not just because he's told us. Now, there is that aspect to it. Okay? Don't get me wrong. But we are to love God with what? All our heart. Just a portion of it? Or can we just leave a little portion for what we want? No, all of it. All of our soul. All of our mind. You know what? I think that one, you know, I can say that I love God with all my heart. But I think that mind one sometimes gets me. Because sometimes those stupid little things creep into my mind. But if they're getting in my mind, they're getting into my heart. When we do not obey, when we do not show love to God or to each other, when we refuse to forgive, we are not truly showing love to God. And that affects blessings that we could have had from the Holy Spirit. That affects blessings that we could have had from the Holy Spirit. Our status within the family of God is unconditional. Our intimacy with Christ is conditional. Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. When we are saved, we become part of God's family through Christ. Not just here, not just Moequa, but God's family worldwide for eternity. As Romans 8:7 says, we have been made joint heirs with Christ when we are saved. When we refuse to forgive, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, our relationship with Christ is hurt. Our intimacy with Christ is determined by how much we truly desire to obey Christ, including his call to show forgiveness. D. Where we spend eternity is fixed, but rewards are conditional. Where we spend eternity is fixed, but rewards are conditional. Salvation guarantees our entrance into heaven. We've been promised that. But some will go to heaven with rewards for the work that they've done. For work that they've done waiting for them, while others will miss out on blessings that they could have had. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15 says, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood or hay or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss. But he himself will be saved. Not only are we called to work in our salvation, but to have the right attitude in the things that we do. Forgiveness is not just saying the words, but it's about developing a desire to completely forgive. If we don't, again, we face losing rewards that we could have had. So if we as Christians are believers in Christ are not willing to develop a heart for forgiveness, yes, we still have our salvation, but we will miss out on so many blessings that could have been. But refusing to forgive has another consequence. An unforgiving heart faces rebuke from God. An unforgiving heart faces rebuke from God. God will rebuke an unforgiving spirit because he hates it when we have an unforgiving attitude or spirit. There are three reasons why God hates it when we have an unforgiving spirit. A, it shows an indifference to the greatest thing God did. It shows an indifference to the greatest thing God did. The greatest thing God did was to send Jesus to the cross for us. To be forgiven is the most wonderful thing in the world. But think about the price that has been paid for that forgiveness by God. We often recite John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But think about that. For God to give us his Son, knowing that that means simply for Christ to die upon that cross. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about how many things we know now, we only know in part, but there's a time coming when we will totally know it. In other words, we will understand it completely. I don't think we've even touched the tip or felt the wholeness or began to feel the completeness of what it means for God to have given his Son for us. We may think we know it and everything, but I think there's just so much more that we're going to understand yet to come when we're up there with him. There's a day coming that we will not only understand it, but I think we'll actually be able to feel it, what that sacrifice was like, what God gave to us. God did this for us, even though we don't deserve it. So it only makes sense that he desires us to pass on to others what he has done for us. So when we choose not to forgive, we're just making light of his sacrifice. We're truly not taking it seriously. B, we hinder God's desire for the world. And that desire is reconciliation. Us to him. God loves reconciliation. He has called us to the ministry of reconciliation. His desire is that we pass on reconciliation, since we have been reconciled to him through his forgiveness. His desire is that we reconcile with others. Now, I realize that there's some people that we are called to forgive that maybe we talked about this, that we're not necessarily going to be buddy-buddy with them. That's not what I'm talking about. There's some people that have gone on before us who have hurt us. So we can't really be reconciled to them because they've left this earth. But we can be reconciled to the fact of forgiveness. When we refuse to forgive, we interrupt what he began, excuse me, by sending his son to die for us, calling us by his grace and giving us total forgiveness. We have the attitude of ingratitude that angers God. The attitude of ingratitude that angers God. We know that God chooses to forget those sins that we've committed. We've talked about that as far as the east is from the west. Everybody remember that, correct? Okay. We've talked about that. He has removed them from us. However, being the fact that he is God, that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he knows the depth, the seriousness of our sins. And the depth of his grace, the seriousness of his grace in giving us that salvation. In Matthew 18, there's that story about a servant who owed his master some money. Okay? And so the master threatened to throw him in prison. Starting to remember the story a little bit? Cool. If you don't, you'll get it. And so he drops down to his knees and he begs the master for just a little bit. Doesn't beg for forgiveness. He says, just give me some time and I'll take it and I'll repay you. Okay? And what does the master do? Forgets it all. He said, okay, you know what? I forgive. Just forget the debt. Just forget everything. So then he goes out and he finds another servant, another man that owes him money. Grabs him by the neck. Said, I want my money. And he says, and the guy said, okay, just give me a little time, just give me a little time, you know. I'll just, and does he forgive him? No. He throws him in prison, into what's called the debtor's prison. Now, some of this second guy's friends get word of it. They realize what's taking place. So they go to the first master. And they say, hey, you know that guy that you just forgave? Well, he just did this. So he calls for that guy to come back to him. And what does he tell him? Why didn't you forgive as I forgave you? It's the same thing that God tells us or calls us to do. He's going to ask us, if we are refusing to forgive, I truly believe one day he's going to say to us, why did you refuse to forgive when I forgave you? Now in that story, the other, he gets thrown back in prison. But the first man was truly grateful for how he had been forgiven, he would have forgave. So we get the idea, he's just, okay, I'm just glad I don't have to pay this anymore. He truly hasn't accepted the debtness. He has ingratitude towards it. When we refuse to forgive after we have been forgiven, we're just simply glad to be off the hook. That's all we are. We are not truly grateful for what God has done. So why? Why do we at times choose not to forgive? Well, there's probably a couple different things, but before that, on your notes, I want you to write this down. I'll say, so it's not going to be on the TV. I got something else. So write this down. When we refuse to forgive, we are putting ourselves before God. When we choose to forgive, we are putting ourselves before God. In other words, we are trying to take His place. Because if we are not forgiving somebody, we are doing what? We are holding them in our judgment. And who is called to judge? God. Now, we are called to talk about sin, to help each other in sin, or not in sin, but to get rid of sin, and to help each other when we see each other in sin. That I get. That's not what I'm talking about judgment, though. Judgment is talking about pronouncing the penalty. And if we are refusing to forgive somebody, we are, in essence, punishing that person in our mind. And we are taking the place, or trying to take the place of God. Even if we don't realize it, we are putting ourselves before God. We are putting ourselves in His place of judgment when we refuse to forgive. But what leads to it? How does unforgiveness manifest itself? An unforgiving spirit often begins simply with resentment. It often begins with just simple resentment. When we hold grudges that cause us to become inwardly bitter, it may start with something small. It may, or even something that, with just one little tiny little thing, but we take and hold it against somebody. And soon it's not just dealing with that person, but it starts to affect us in other relationships as well. Because when we hold on to resentment even against one person, it will start to affect our relationships with those around us. It will manifest itself. It grows. And soon it's not just simple resentment, but soon it's bitterness toward others. Soon we may find ourselves even bitterness towards God. Our spirit has manifested into an unforgiving spirit. And when that happens, when we allow bitterness to take root and grow, it can be very, very hard to stop. Resentment leads to going over and over the situation in our minds. Have you had one of those things that's happened and you just simply come, you just simply replay the situation? You don't look beyond and see how we can get past the situation or deal with it. We often do that with problems. You know, when we have a trouble, something that's troubling us. We just keep on looking at the certain situation that's bothering us. Instead of trying to look at, okay, well, what can happen? How do I get past this? We just focus on that. And a lot of times we even do what Lot's wife did. What did she do? She was looking back. And a lot of times we'll just keep on looking back and say, well, what if I would have done this different? What if I would have done that different? What if I would have done this different? Looking back on our past. And the more we concentrate on what we could have done, the more bitterness and everything we get and the more resentment we get. A lot of it just simply starts with just that, having resentment towards somebody. When we do not take our relationship with God, the Father, serious enough, it causes us to have a spirit of unforgiveness. Ask yourself this question. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to shout it out or anything like that, but simply be honest with yourself. How seriously do I strive to have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ? Now, don't just say, well, I, you know, look at how you're trying to have that fellowship. What are we doing? What are things that we are doing that's actually hindering that relationship? What are the things that we're bringing into our life that hinders that relationship? Not just what we're doing to try to get that relationship, but what's hindering us as well. So in those verses about forgiving and not forgiving, what was Jesus saying? What was Jesus saying when he said, if we do not forgive our Father, when we do not forgive, our Father will not forgive us? Refusing to forgive others means we are not in complete fellowship with God, and the result is God's grace is not fully experienced or felt. It's simple like that. Refusing to forgive means we are not in true fellowship with God, and the result is God's grace is not fully experienced or felt within us. Remember, we said that Jesus was not talking about salvation there, but our life after salvation, if we are refusing to forgive people, then we are not in complete fellowship with our Lord and Savior. I know no matter where we are spiritually, we can always grow deeper with Christ. I get that. But when we are simply going to refuse to do something that he's called us to do, and in this case we're talking about forgiveness, we will not experience the trueness of what we could be getting in a relationship with Christ if we're not doing it. Now I know, and we're going to be talking about this in the next couple weeks, I know there's a difference from choosing to not forgive and struggling to forgive somebody. I get that. But so many times we choose, say, I will not forgive somebody for that. And that's what I'm talking about here. All these things will hinder our relationship with Christ when we have that attitude. Sometimes we struggle. We want to forgive somebody, we just don't know how, or we don't know how to get rid of that hurt or how to deal with it. We're going to be talking about that, on how to forgive somebody. But we have to ask ourselves, have we even taken the first step? Have we even chosen the desire to forgive? Are we seeking the answers on how to forgive? Because we haven't chosen, if we've chosen not that desire to forgive, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then can't work within us. And we just keep on going around and around in that circle until we make that decision that we're going to do what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do praise you and thank you for the forgiveness that you've given to us. The blessings we have in that forgiveness, to know not just the fact that we have eternal life coming, which is great, which is wonderful, but to know that we have that opportunity of fellowship with you, of growing spiritually in you and with you. And we know that when we choose not to forgive, to do what you've called us to do, we hinder that relationship. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here today that's struggling with the desire, if they're saying, I just don't want to forgive, that you would just speak to our hearts at this time. Put within us that desire. Inspire us to ask for forgiveness for not forgiving people. That's where it starts, that we need your forgiveness for not forgiving. And then help us to learn how to forgive as we develop a desire to forgive. We pray this in your loving name. Amen.
Again, with just my children and my wife. Thank my God above to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Thank you.
Good morning again, everybody. Good to see everybody.